What we're going to do now, I'm just going to invite up a couple of students, university students, to just share something that Jesus has been doing. So we're not really, we love the fact that they're at university, and I'm sure their course is great and they're having a wonderful time. I'll hear all about that at the university event tomorrow. But what has Jesus been doing for them? So about 3 or 4 students here, so I've only primed a couple of them, but it might be that Josh wants to say something as well. So come on in, Sam, keep it, we don't want a sermon, because I know what you like when you get the mic. go for it.
So this year has been amazing so far in terms of God stuff, but one sort of experience that I want to sort of draw on and relay back to you is, so CUs around the country, so that's Christian unions that universities have, what they call a missions week. So this is their big evangelical push on campuses every year. So this is, they do all their massive events during this one week. And for us, it was just amazing. So we ran a series of lunch bars throughout the week, and we averaged 100 people turning up to each one, which was amazing. And so at each one of these lunch bars, we had a talk from our sort of resident speaker for the week, and sort of it was dealing with sort of common asked questions, and it was amazing to see so many people turning up for those sessions. But one area in particular of that week that sort of really showed that God was moving on campuses. We got to the Friday, and this was our sort of big evangelical event. This is, you're going to hear the gospel, and then we're going to sort of say, so, do you want to become a Christian? It was really badly advertised. No one really knew about it on campus. And so I got there, and I was thinking, oh dear, we're not going to have anybody turn up except Christians, are we? It's just going to be one of those events where all the evangelism just goes out the window because you've got everyone who's there who's already saved. So I was sitting there really doubting, going, oh no, we're not going to have anybody here at all. And one guy came up to me and challenged me and said, you know what, pray about it and see what God does. I was like, okay, fair enough. So I prayed about it. And then myself, the guy who challenged me, and another guy went outside to just see if we could drag some people in and see if they were interested. And dragged them in. Sort of encouraged them in. It should be the more appropriate term. It was just amazing. We ended up from going from nobody to having 40 people in there. And that was just amazing. It was like, wow, clearly God's doing something here. Because before that, I didn't think we were going to get anybody at all. Despite the overwhelming confidence of the CU president, who was expecting 250 people to turn up. it was amazing because it's just sort of, wow, that was a real answer to prayer. And there were plenty of people who, without us even asking them, we went up to them, so are you guys interested? Oh, yeah, we're already coming to this event. That's amazing. Great, cool, going in. It's just an amazing experience to sort of...
Did any of them become Christians?
At that event. No one at the event, but we did get a couple of people along to see you because of it. So what that means in the future, I don't know. But hopefully it's sown a few seeds.
Great stuff. Good. Yes, Bethan, do you want to come and say something? It's nice to applaud, but if we're going to do it, let's do it with a bit of enthusiasm. Jokes. Okay. Bethan.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello. I live in a flat with 10 other people, and over Christmas, one of them moved out for, like, because she didn't really get on with other people in our flat or whatever. So that was kind of bad. No.
Okay.
And so we weren't sure if we were going to get a new flatmate, but we did. And I guess this is just about, like, God's, like, timing and, like, bringing people to the right place. Because she's a girl, she's from China, and she recently became a Christian. And so it has just been really, like, helpful for both of us, like, having another Christian in the flat. And, like, I took her to church and stuff, and it's just been, like, really encouraging. And we've had some really good conversations because, obviously, Christianity is, like, not a done thing in China. And her parents, she hasn't told her parents. So it's just been, like, really good to, like, talk to her. And she's only here for a semester. But yeah, and she might come to stay with me in the summer. So. Yeah.
Good story. Fantastic. Thank you. That's great. Josh, thank you. Josh, did you want to share anything? I'm putting you on the spot a bit. Yeah, wonderful. There you come. Okay, Andrew, do you want to come and share something? Have a little think, Josh. I'm coming to you next, all right?
Yeah, there have just been a couple of times through the second semester where you've just seen God moving. So one of them, the first one, I'd say the church me and Sam go to in Guildford, had a weekend away, and it was absolutely brilliant. And you know, you could clearly see God moving throughout the weekend. And yeah, speaking to a lot of people after that, it had been really helpful. But there was also along the CU route on the evangelism, we did a text the toasty event, so everyone could text in a filling for a toasty and where they lived and a question about Christianity. So I wasn't sure we'd get that many people, but we probably got about 70 or something in the end. 75 people texted in to ask for toasties, and some of the conversations we had with non-Christians and even people from other faiths as well, really interesting to open and see them open to it. Yeah, most of them didn't just want the toasty. There are a few people who just wanted the toasty, but most of the time we got a good conversation with. I know Sam managed to have like an hour-long conversation with one person. Yeah.
Fantastic. So is that service still on for you two now? We text a toasty to you. It's lunch sorted tomorrow, everyone. No. Josh, have you got anything now or not? He hasn't. That's okay. You don't need to feel bad about that. That's great. Well, look, I just thought it'd be nice to hear something from the students, so it's great having you guys back. But what I want us to do in a moment is I want you to find a space on your own in a minute. You can use the stage. Don't go out of the transept because you won't hear otherwise. You know, down the aisle. If you're sitting on the seats, be careful because there's a wedding in here on Saturday and we don't want the seats getting all dirty, so don't break them like Ben does. Or smash them. And then I'm going to read us something, because in a few weeks' time, this becomes quite significant. It's Fairy Lights Day. No, it's Easter. And so I'm going to read some of the Easter narrative as you lie and listen. But please don't fall asleep when you're lying, however tired you might be. Stay awake, because I want to just read over you the events that lead up to and the event itself where Jesus died for us. And I'm going to give you a little bit of time just to mull it over and think about it. And I want you to get into about fours. And I've got some questions and I want you just to have a little discussion about what you've just heard. And this. So as you lie there, as you're listening, I encourage you to think about how you might be thinking if you were actually there. How Jesus would have been thinking, things like that. So go for it, spread out. You can take a beanbag with you if that's helpful, but don't be where someone else is. So make sure you're comfortable. You might find it helpful to close your eyes. You might find it helpful to stare at the cross or the ceiling or whatever. Don't let anyone distract you now. I may walk around, but don't pay attention to me. Just before I read, I just encourage you to listen to your own kind of breathing. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him to be out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on the way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice on the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also, heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard the cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were standing watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. What I've just read really happened. What I'd like you to do is, without moving far, just hook up with three other people so you're into a group of four. I've just got five questions I want you as a group to reflect upon. Then we'll pass some of them round. So just where you're sat, who you're sat with. Can you pass them round? Can you pass the rest round to each group? So just spend some time looking through these questions and doing your best to kind of reflect and answer them as you can. Yeah, so discuss them in your groups, not individually. people need a bit longer. Keep going. Just another 3 minutes. Just another minute and a half or so. Thank you. Okay. Don't stay in your groups, but just sort of look this way for a minute. We're not going to ask for feedback from your groups. I hope that's been quite thought-provoking, though. I don't know about you, but I found just reading it out had quite a profound effect on me, actually. It was like the words were going in to me differently. And I know Easter's on the way, and I'm an eternal optimist in many ways. And every time I think about Easter, I always find my mind gets to the resurrection. And of course, that's important. But sometimes we need to stop and remember the crucifixion. And so in a moment, we're going to share some bread and wine together, to remember that he died for us. And you know, later this month, for me, it'll be 24 years since I gave my life to Jesus. At Easter time in 1990, yes, that year did exist. And so we've just read this and heard this account of what happened to Jesus. And later, just before he died, when he was with his disciples, he broke bread with them and they drank wine. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And later after that as well, Paul gave direction to the churches, to Christians, that we should break bread and drink wine to remember Jesus' body and his blood. And so I'm going to break this bread, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite one person from your group to come and take a chunk of bread and take it back to your group, and just together in your group share it out. And then we'll pray for the wine and you can come and get this. So let me break this bread. Jesus, we thank you that as we sit here in 2014, this simple act of breaking bread is still hugely significant. We thank you for what we have just heard. And we lay ourselves before you, God. And we say that we're sorry for the things in our life that are not right before you. And we ask that you would forgive us right now. And we share this bread to remember that you died for us. Amen.